Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Ireland is now ranked 7th in Europe when it comes to road deaths. That's according to 2024 data from the European Transport Safety Council. As part of the Global Vision Zero strategy, Ireland has committed to eliminating road fatalities by 2050. However, in recent years, deaths on Irish roads have been rising. So where have we been going wrong? I'm joined to consider this by Sarah O'Connor, Director of Partnership and External Affairs with the Road Safety Authority. Good morning. Thanks very much for coming in, Sarah. I looked back over the big picture, the last several decades of road fatalities in this country. 600 back at the end of the 70s into the early 80s a year, and then down and down and down and down and down up until 2018 when it starts trending back up. Why?
Well, I suppose we've been reading and contributing to this European Transport Safety Council report for a number of years, and we've been reading it quite carefully to understand what's happening. And I suppose the layperson's analysis would be that we are what we have experienced since COVID. So one of the measures that the ETSC report does is it looks at three different measures, and a pre-COVID normalised year, which they're reading as being 2019, and where we're at now is one of the things that they are looking at across Europe. And we are not alone across Europe in having seen, I suppose, the impact of COVID on our behaviours across the I suppose all of the big spectrum pieces that we would be worried about in terms of road safety. So driver impairment, whether that's drink or drugs, attitudes to drink driving, speed, our relationship with speed, fatigue and wearing a seatbelt would all be the major pieces that can be contributing factors for collisions.
Okay, and is the timing of the pandemic just coincidence in that, or is it causal?
I think we are now coming to grips with the fact that something happened quite significantly about attitudes during COVID, particularly in Ireland, but also to a roughly similar timeline across Europe, essentially, is what the report would probably indicate.
Do you want to take a guess at what that is?
I think our relationship, so a lot of people were grounded for the bones of 18 months to 2 years. They were off the roads. When they returned to the roads, they had lost some of that, you know, day-to-day experience that we would all have. And I think something happened about our attitudes and how we felt when we were able to be on the roads, having been, I suppose, quite limited in the remainder of our social life during lockdowns, that is kind of strange. So for us, we would chart, for example, those things that I mentioned before, and it all looked like a big camel's hump. So during COVID, our attitudes and our relationship with being told what to do in respect of how we use the roads seemed quite fractured. Okay. And it improved, but it is not back to pre-COVID norms.
Whatever about drink and drugs, did we get married to our phones during lockdown in a way that we just weren't able to habit that we weren't able to separate ourselves from when we got behind the wheel of the car again?
I don't know if it's possible to pinpoint that that's COVID or just our addiction to our mobile phones, but definitively mobile phone and our relationship with it and how it affects how we drive, how we cycle, how we use our motorbikes, how we cross the road, across the board for every kind of road users, it's an issue.
Very hard crime to detect, really, isn't it? I mean, even with the Gardaí out in HGVs now looking down into people's cars, I wonder, is there a tech solution here? Is there a way of disabling phones, putting them on aeroplane setting once you start up the engine of your car so that they will become redundant in the car and people just won't be tempted to look at them?
So there's a few solutions. I mean, the Garda HGV vehicle is one absolutely excellent solution. The unmarked Garda cars and the newer cars that have come into the Garda fleet, which can't be detected and they have good visibility and they can see people, are also a solution. But some of the really nuts and bolts stuff that we can do...
How many can they pick up in a day? Because it's a slow process, spotting somebody, pulling them over, issuing the fixed charge penalty notice and then moving on. I mean, surely it's dropping the ocean by comparison with the number of people that we know are using their phones behind the wheel of the car.
Well, it's labour intensive. I mean, all policing is labour intensive. I suppose there are things that other countries are looking at that we are exploring in Ireland as well. One would be how we use safety cameras, and that's going to be a big part in the new strategy. But there are some even really important things.
To look in the window of the car and see if somebody's using the phone?
Say, other countries use safety cameras to detect if they believe that somebody is on their mobile phone, or if the to see if somebody has a seatbelt on. Those are things that other countries can use and can explore using safety cameras for, and they are in use in other countries at the moment. And certainly that's one of the things that I know that a number of the organisations that are looking at safety cameras will be looking at here in Ireland to see is that something that is implementable here.
Okay, and if it is implemented elsewhere, would there be any reason that it can't be here?
I mean, I suppose the jurisdictions or the legislation that would sit in one country would always be a little bit different to another country, so it would certainly require legislative change, which is not a prompt process, but it's certainly up for exploration at the moment. But even if we look at our own mobile phones, a lot of people won't be aware that, for example, you can of course switch it into airplane mode, but if people need to get a prompt in terms of getting the maps and having access to it, you can even switch on driving focus, which will allow you to see your map and to observe that, but it will mean that you don't get phone calls incoming, or potentially you don't get any notifications popping up on your screen as you're looking at the map. Yeah. Even that, I have found myself, has made the most enormous difference in terms of feeling like the phone is a distraction and it's there at all times. When people text me when I'm driving, they'll get a reply that says, I'm using text while driving and I'll see your text message when I get there, and it does not pop up on screen. And it's fantastic.
What kind of stats or what kind of data do we have around how many deaths that the phone or drink and driving are implicated in?
Drink driving would be circa 24 to 27% of road fatalities. We would see a positive toxicology for alcohol. So that is consistently in Ireland, even though people think mentally that drink driving is solved or resolved because we've done a lot of attitudinal change in the last 20 years. But when we look at the data, it is still a really key factor.
Okay, speed?
Mid-20s. Between 25 and 30% of road fatalities will see speed as a factor. And actually what's harder there is people have grasped the idea that drink driving is dangerous and that impairment is dangerous. People still can be quite glib about speed in Ireland and quite dismissive of the idea that it's a factor. But if we think about it, when we slow down, it gives us additional time to react to anything that's happening on the road. It means the collision may be possibly something that can be avoided entirely. Or if a collision does happen, you may have time for additional evasive manoeuvres, which may mean that the injury or fatality could possibly be avoided or could be less serious.
One of the big factors that was responsible for the reduction of deaths from that figure of 600 back, as I was saying, at the start of the 1980s was the motorway network. It's a much safer way of getting from A to B. Is there a case for more motorways to further reduce those deaths to hit that 2050 target, or do we have the network that we need?
Well, I think TII, the local authorities, the Department of Transport, are working really hard on road development. And I know even in the new National Development Plan that that's a key factor. And road safety is one major consideration within that. And I suppose we're never going to have a situation where every road in Ireland is a motorway. But divided roads are really important. Nationally and internationally, they are proven to be the safest part of the road network.
This is two lanes in one?
Two lanes in one. But also even cycle lanes can be proven to, you know, if you have delineations with cycle lanes, that helps people to understand this is where I need to drive. It can have much broader spectrum safety implications than just for the cyclist, for example.
Well, any cyclist listening to that now is going to have steam blowing out of their ears and say, sorry, a white line on the road does not keep
me
safe.
No, the particularly delineated ones, the ones that have engineering in play.
A concrete
internationally,
curb.
If you look at other, like for example, there are American examples where if you bring in those kinds of cycle lanes, all road safety improvements in like the road safety outcomes for all road users improve, not only for cyclists. So engineering is like we talk about it internally and with our other road safety partners as being a kind of a tripartite stool. If you think about it, it's education, it's awareness and it's enforcement engineering, enforcement and education all together working all three. That's what's really important for the structural piece.
Back to speed again for a second. The reduction from 80 kilometres an hour to 60 on some minor roads, very hard for An Garda Síochána to police again. How hopeful are you that it's going to make a contribution to fatalities?
Well, rural roads are a major, major factor. So when we look at it, between 70 and 80% of fatalities happen on rural roads in Ireland. And we all just have to pay attention to that. We all have to be cognizant of risk. And so the point isn't that we have a guard on every single bend of every road. The point is that they're enforcing at places that are safe for them to do so, and are checking speed limits. But really a very significant number of us just follow the speed limit as best we can, and even those speed limits changing in and of themselves, we believe will have a significant impact. Obviously, we were supporting the Department of Transport when they were bringing that policy change in with our speed ad, which ran in February and in March of this year. But really part of this is it's helping people to understand risk and to understand what they may face if they're taking a journey that they're very used to or one that they maybe is quite new to them on a rural road.
Is that the experience, that speed signs do actually end up having an impact on people's behaviour and that they will modify behaviour on familiar stretches of country roads that they've always been driving at a certain speed if they see that the new limit is now 60?
You know, not everybody is fully compliant. That's, I suppose that's relatively normal in this space. But I think one of the stats we had seen from other countries was 32-35% of people will just follow the speed limit that they see. So that's some people slowing down. And then we have to work really hard ourselves, the guards and other organisations, to really help the other people who won't automatically follow it, to help them to understand why they should follow it and why, you know, slowing down around bends and taking risks can have very serious implications for them and for the people who surround them.
And I suppose the benefit of that is, isn't it, that on particularly on minor roads, all cars will end up travelling at the speed of the slowest car on that road.
Well, yeah, but I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's really just about everybody slowing down, taking the force out of the potential collision and maybe also avoiding that collision. That's what speed is really about here. And I think lots of people, when we did a significant body of research to support the rule speed change earlier this year, when we showed people visually the kinds of roads that were going to be changed, people actually thought that those speed limits were already 50 or already 60. They did not believe that they were already 80. So people even looking at the road themselves recognised, well, that's dangerous. I shouldn't be driving that quickly. So in a way, there was a real, like, I think it did tap into a common sense piece of the puzzle. And for ourselves, and I know our research team will be working with the NTA, the Department of Transport and TII, looking at that and analysing that, you know, across the next 6 or 9 months into next year to see, you know, what impact has that had and what happens next in terms of that space.
Sarah O'Connor, Director of Partnership and External Affairs with the Road Safety Authority, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Coming up after the break, falling in love with thrift again.